Okay, let's open our Bible this morning. John chapter 16. John chapter 16, and we'll read verse 20 through 24. And I just ask if you're physically able, you would stand. So we read these couple of verses. John chapter 16, verse 20 through 24. The Bible reads, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice. And ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. A woman, when she is in travail, has sorrow, because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish for joy that a man is born into the world. And ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you." Verse 23, "And in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hereto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this service and the songs that have already been sung. We need your help. This is a holy word, your holy Bible. How can man preach and teach your word unless you help? God, we ask that this morning. Please speak through me and speak to me. Just bless this Sunday school hour. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You can be seated. This morning, I'd like for us just to look at a few verses here about joy. Joy. And we see here Jesus, he was talking to his disciples, and his time was about up, and here on the earth, and his ministry is about finished. And he knew what was ahead of him. The disciples, he had told the disciples already, but it was just hard for him to grasp it. But he knew they were going to be very sorrowful, but their sorrow was going to be turned into joy. And they were going to be sorrowful about, they were going to take Jesus and crucify him. And they didn't quite grasp this was necessary, you know, and they were enjoying being with Jesus. But Jesus said that your joy is about to be full. You're going to have a short time of sorrow, and then it's going to be turned to great joy. And this morning, I want us to just look at a few verses in our Sunday school hour here about joy. Now, there's things that are in the world that can make you happy. And there's some things that, you know, just you enjoy. Maybe you enjoy sports, or maybe you enjoy shopping, or maybe you just enjoy eating, or, you know, there's things that really there's nothing wrong with them, but that happiness is sort of temporal. As you're doing it, or as you're watching the game, or as you're at the store, or as you're at the restaurant, or whatever, you're at the table eating, you're enjoying it and you're happy, but then it goes away. But joy is more enduring. It lasts. And I want us to look at a few things with joy this morning. When can we really experience joy? Well, you really can't experience joy until you're saved. Because that is when you first taste of this new thing that you've never tasted. You may have been happy before, but this true joy you haven't experienced until you are saved. Look at Acts chapter 8 and verse 39. Acts chapter 8 and verse 39. Acts chapter 8 and verse 39. Speaking of the eunuch, it says, "And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more. And he went on his way rejoicing." When this eunuch got saved, He experienced something. It wasn't just he felt happy, but it was joy. It was a true joy that he had never, never experienced before. And I believe that each person here this morning that has accepted Christ as our Savior, you remember that day. You remember that time when you accepted Christ. You felt a joy in you, something you've never felt before. Amen. Personally, I got saved when I was young. It's 7 years. I was 7 years old when I got saved. And raised in a Christian family, knew a lot of Bible verses, heard a lot of messages. But I remember that evening, I'd actually for a month had been just bothered and thinking about, I am not saved. And I wrestled with it and turmoil with it and just couldn't believe. And I remember that evening, that night, I couldn't rest. Everyone was in bed. My mom and dad were in bed. My brothers were in bed. I kept tossing and turning. And I knew I needed to confess with my mouth and believe with my heart. And I got up and I ran in my mom and dad's room and woke them up and said, I need to get saved tonight. I can't wait till the morning. Tonight, I need to accept Christ. And I remember as I prayed, I don't remember exactly the words I prayed, but I just remember when I said amen, there was something new I felt that I had never felt before. And that was the true joy that only Christ can give through salvation. And so that is where joy begins. Again, remember, you can be happy. There's some things that can make you happy. But true joy begins at salvation. But then once we're saved, look in Galatians chapter 5. Let's see what the Bible continues to say about joy. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22. The Bible says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. Now look at the second one. Joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. So true joy begins at salvation. But then once you're saved, joy is the fruit of the Spirit. Now, when it's the fruit of the Spirit, that means you can't produce it yourself. You can't produce it in your own effort. In your flesh. It's not the fruit of the flesh, okay? It's the fruit of the Spirit. Again, there are things that can make our flesh happy, but it's temporal. But it's the Spirit that now dwells in us once you are saved, okay? It's not when you got baptized or not when you had a dream or not when you went out on some mountain and did some kind of crazy dance or throwing dust up in the air and thinking you're going to get the Holy Spirit. He comes and dwells with you the moment you accept Christ. Amen. But that Holy Spirit is the only one that can continue that joy in your life. Happiness is like any other emotion. It comes, it goes. But joy is the fruit of the Spirit. And He, the Holy Spirit, dwells within you. And as long as we allow the Spirit to produce His fruit, the joy will continue. If there's some reason you are saved and you don't feel joy, it's not God's fault. It's that we have hindered the Spirit. Yeah. We, the first place we lived in Haiti, my next door neighbor, he had this orange tree. And it grew right on the property line. It was it was on his side, but some of the branches hung over to my side. And so I was always waiting for the oranges, but this neighbor, the wife, didn't like the orange tree too much. And every time that thing would start growing out and the branches would start coming my way, she'd tell a gardener to trim that thing back. And you could see it sometimes, it'd start getting some little oranges on it, and then here comes the gardener, and he trims it back. Cuts it all the way back, and the thing's little, and then it starts coming out again. Well, that tree is an orange tree. It's going to produce oranges unless something hinders it from producing oranges. And it was the neighbor's wife that kept hindering it. It wanted to produce them oranges, but she kept cutting the branches back, And then it would never, every time it started to get ready to produce it, she'd cut it back again. Well, that's the Holy Spirit. He is going to produce joy in our life.
That's good.
It's coming out. The branches are coming out. He's going to have, we're going to have joy unless we cut the branches back, unless we hinder him. So remember that joy, happiness, you can produce happiness on yourself. Just go do something. You know, I don't know what team, I know New Mexico people are Denver Bronco fans or they're Cowboy fans, you know, so as long as one of them two is winning, you're happy, but then they lose. You know, of course, like Cowboys, they always lose in the playoffs, okay? And so you're all happy all regular season, then playoff time, boom, it's over, you know? But joy is the fruit of the Spirit, and He dwells within you, and He's going to continue to produce whether the Cowboys win or not, whether you find a good sale at the store or you don't. The Holy Spirit will produce the joy. Unless we hinder him. Well, let's look at a few situations and a few things in our Christian life where the Spirit is going to continue to produce that joy. Now, the first couple, it may not seem it's right, but remember, joy and happiness are not exactly the same thing. Look at Luke chapter 6 and verse 22. Here's a situation where the Holy Spirit will produce joy. The flesh, it's impossible here. The flesh cannot produce joy here, but the Spirit will produce joy. Luke chapter 6 and verse 22, the Bible says, "Blessed are ye when men shall hate you." Now that seems a little backwards. You may not be too happy, but we're talking about joy. "Blessed are ye when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company, and shall reproach you and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice ye in that day and leap for joy. For behold, your reward is great in heaven. For in like manner did their fathers unto the prophets." Now, when we're persecuted, that doesn't make us happy. I'm sure your flesh is the same as mine. You like people to like you. You like people to be glad you're around. And you just feel comfortable and, man, this is good. But it says if we live holy, we're going to suffer persecution. If you want to live different than this world, if you want to live as a, when I say Christian, not just a title, but Christ-like, you're going to suffer persecution. It can come from the world. It can come from other Christians. That doesn't make us happy. But the Bible says the Spirit will produce joy. We can rejoice, leap for joy when they persecute us. Why? We're not looking at the temporary. We know this same persecution is making me rich in heaven. It's giving me great rewards. It's not going to make us happy, but the Spirit can produce joy. Even in persecution. Look again in James chapter 1. Here's another thing. The Holy Spirit, at a time when the Holy Spirit, and it's the fruit of the Spirit, it's not the fruit of the flesh. Your flesh won't be happy, but the Holy Spirit will produce joy. James chapter 1, verse 2 through 4, the Bible says, "My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing." Well, our flesh is not going to be too happy in tribulations and trials, but the Holy Spirit will produce joy. Because again, you don't look at the temporary that's in front of you. The Holy Spirit will help communicate with your spirit and let you realize these same trials and temptations are making me like God wants me to be. You've got this vessel here. Well, Christ is the potter and we're the vessel. And sometimes his trials is when he's fixing some spots on the vessel that aren't quite right. Now our flesh isn't happy. We want cut life comfortable, all the bills paid, food in the fridge, just everything just rolling along nice and smooth, nice retirement, just everything going great. Everyone in the family's getting along, just wow, isn't this great? That's how our flesh feels happy. But true joy, even when the trials, even when things, we don't understand what's going on. We don't understand why, God. But yet I'm inside, the Holy Spirit still producing joy. I know that these things are working together for good. God is molding me to make me as He would have me to be. Joy is the fruit of the Spirit. It begins at salvation. The Holy Spirit dwells within us. He continues to produce joy as long as we allow Him. Even in persecution, even in tribulation. But let's look at a couple other things here. 2 Corinthians 8. Here's another time. The Holy Spirit will produce joy in our life. 2 Corinthians 8. This is funny, because sometimes our flesh isn't happy for this. It shouldn't bother our flesh, but it does sometimes. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. How that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. Giving. When we give to the Lord's work, the Holy Spirit makes a great joy. You know, the Bible says God loves a cheerful giver. How is it when it's offering time? The Holy Spirit creates joy. This is a great time. I love the offerings. Our flesh shouldn't be bothered with it. But many times, like, man, you know, I got this coming up and school's about to start. And, well, you know, I'll make it up, God. I'll get it caught up here before Christmas, before the year's over. But the Holy Spirit is joyful. Another opportunity to give to God's work.
Amen. That's good.
You saw in the video there that in 2016 we began giving to missions in Haiti. We started teaching it in 2015, started it into practice in 2016. We don't do the faith promise missions like you do in America. Most people in our church don't have work. And so you don't have a steady income. But the way we do it in Haiti is every month that has five Sundays is missions month. And so all month long, we talk and preach and teach on missions. The fourth Sunday, we give everybody just a blank envelope. And then the fifth Sunday, they come back. And we teach them and tell them, give two ways. You either give by faith. Faith, you just pick any number you want, any amount of money you want, and you just pray, say, God, if you give me this amount, I'll put every bit of it, 100% in the offering. You may not have anything right now. Just pray and say, God, if you give me $100, I'll put $100 in. But it's your faith, the measure of your faith. Just pray and bring it in. Or give by sacrifice. Go home, find something you got in your house. They don't have a whole lot in their house, but sell it. Or do without something. Go without some meals. Go without some Cokes. Go without some coffee or whatever you're drinking. And save that money up during the month and give it. And the people have made great sacrifice in Haiti. But we give on the fifth Sunday. We have midweek Thursday service. Thursday we have testimony time. And when you see the joy of the people that made sacrifices, the joy of people that I don't have any idea where I'm getting money, but they pray it in by faith and they give it. It gives great joy. That's the fruit of the Spirit. The Spirit creates great joy. through giving. Let's look at another one here. John chapter 3. John chapter 3, verse 26. John chapter 3, verse 26. It says, and they came unto John and said unto him, Rabbi, John 3, verse 26, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizeth, and all men come to him. John answered and said, a man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. Ye yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before him. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy, therefore, is fulfilled. He must increase, but I must decrease. Now, our flesh wants attention. Our flesh wants glory and praise and people to clap for us and pat us on the back and just, oh man, lift up our name. But the Holy Spirit creates joy when people almost don't even see us, but they see the Lord in us. When God gets the glory for what we do, when God gets the glory for, and it's not, when I say that, it's not just preaching or singing or something in the church. It can be at home. Your wife, your husband sees God in you. Your children see, it was like, oh, I got the best mom and dad. My mom and dad got the best God. When God gets the glory. Maybe at the workplace. The boss doesn't come up to you and say, oh man, this is the best worker. But man, this worker has the best God I've ever seen. When God gets the glory, the Holy Spirit produces joy that he must increase and I must decrease. I don't need glory. I don't need people naming. I don't need my name across the TV and man, I'm all lifted up. Everybody in Albuquerque knows who I am. But what about some of the ministry? Preaching, soul winning. Well, man, they let me know I passed out more tracts than anybody else in the church this year. Well, I hope you did. But you don't need any glory for that.
Yeah, right.
When nobody knows, you didn't keep track of it. You just, everywhere you went, you were passing out tracts, sharing the gospel. There was no record. Nobody kept track. Nobody put you up front and gave you a plaque or anything for it. But God was honored.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit produces joy. I am so thrilled. He must increase. I must decrease. But that's only the Holy Spirit that can produce that joy.
That's right.
And he will if we don't hinder him. And one last one we'll close this morning, our Sunday school hour. Look at Luke chapter 10, verse number 1. Luke chapter 10, verse number 1. Luke 10, verse number 1. The Bible says, after these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also, and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place whither he himself would come. All right, so Jesus sent out the 70. All right, now look at verse 17. Here they come back. And the 70 returned, verse 17, the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. Where else in our life does the Holy Spirit produce his joy? It's when we share the gospel with others. You saw again in the video that when we witness close to our church, we walk. But you saw the pickup truck. When we get a little farther away, we don't want to waste our afternoon before the sun goes down
walk into a place. So we drive to a place and then get out of the truck and then do evangelization in that area. But I tell the church people there, and I can tell you all the same too. Our flesh, and I don't know if Satan doesn't play a game in it too. He makes us fear and afraid of going out and sharing the gospel.
Yes, that's right.
Not just on the day that we have as the church we go out and witness, but just in our everyday life. You always got this thing. And I tell our church people there, you don't need to think, Brother Fox, as long as I've been out witnessing to it, that I don't get afraid too. That there and sometimes our property is all walled in, got a gate there, and I'm standing inside the gate, we're all there, we're getting ready to pray, and it's like, I'm not sure I even feel like going out. But we pray, and you just do it anyway.
Amen. Amen.
You just do it anyway. And then what happens is, I've never seen anybody come back from going out witnessing, or somebody sharing the gospel, and then you're like, well, I wish I wouldn't have done that. It produces great joy.
Amen.
Sharing the gospel with someone. Any opportunity that you have to open your mouth. And I encourage you to pray. And I know you have a time you go out and you witness. But just in your everyday, Lord, give me opportunities today.
Amen, that's good.
Give me opportunities. And as you pray, God opens up those opportunities. Sometimes it's just giving a tract. But pray, God, give me opportunities to open my mouth too.
Yes.
And you may be afraid, but when you do, it produces great joy. The other day, I was in Los Alamos and met a man from Texas. And he was talking in Fort Worth, Texas. And I said, yeah, I've been there. It's so hot and humid and blah, blah. You know, I was talking about it. And I asked him, you go to church anywhere? Just trying to get the conversation switched over. And, no, I don't go to church anywhere. He was an older gentleman. I'd say probably about 60-something, maybe 70. Older than me. Okay, but anyway, I just prayed, God, give me an opportunity. I'm going to get him a track. And I told him I was a missionary in Haiti. He started talking about, yeah, he said, well, I don't know if anything's getting better in Haiti. I was like, perfect. I said, no, you know what? Haiti isn't really changing physically too much, but that's why we're preaching the gospel. And boom, God gave the opportunity. And just, here's what we're preaching. And you don't, Haitians, don't put your hope. I was talking about the Haitians, but I'm talking to him, you know. Haitians, you don't need to put all your hope in this earth and in a new government and better country of Haiti. It's going to turn into some tropical paradise. Your hope is in heaven. And Jesus and God gave a wonderful opportunity. You just pray. And when you do, that the Holy Spirit inside you produces great joy. The flesh can't produce that. But the Holy Spirit does. And so this morning, our Sunday school lesson is on joy. It begins at salvation.
Yes.
That's when you may have been happy before, but joy begins at salvation. Remember, joy is the fruit of the Spirit. You cannot. You can be happy. You can make your flesh happy, but you cannot produce joy.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit only produces joy. You'll be happy even in persecution. Even when trials and tribulation come, the joy will be there when you give. When Jesus receives honor, nobody may not recognize you, but Jesus receives honor. And when you share the gospel, the Holy Spirit's going to produce a joy. And joy is way better than happy.
Amen.
It's way better than happy. Let's bow for prayer this morning.